and I have done a premium episode. That's right, the first premium episode of the Dad Podcast. If you want to listen to it like it was old school, or if you're an old listener who misses our dear friend Bill Glass, all you got to do is go to thedadpodcast.com, click on the store tab on the homepage, and that will take you to a spot where you can download an MP3 version of 1 hour and 20 minutes of Bill and I doing old school funny. We talk about his kids joining the soccer league. We talk about his parents. We get an update on them. And then we talk about my experiences with preschool. So please check that out at thedadpodcast.com. Then click on the store and pick it up for just $3. Have you ever had questions that you wish you had your very own on-call pediatrician? Well, guess what? We are going to have a real pediatrician as a regular guest on the Dad Podcast. So if you have a question you've always wanted cleared up, please send it to questions@thedadpodcast.com. Because Dr. J wants you to stop Googling that shit and find out the real deal Homiefield answers from a real deal Homiefield pediatrician. So ask us at questions@thedadpodcast.com. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. This is episode 44. I am joined once again by dear friend of mine and the show, Mr. Andy Forrester. How are you, Andy?
I'm good, and yourself?
I'm doing well. I can. That's a bold-faced fucking lie, right out of the box.
Sweet. we're 10 seconds into the show. You have lied and cursed profusely. So that is awesome.
Oh, Andy, why can't we be?
Apologize to my grandmother. She's dead, but I just want to apologize to her now. Seems like a good time.
Well, it's probably awkward at this point to be rolling over in that grave to hear you involved in some kind of cursing situation.
I mean, she's dead, but she still listens to podcasts.
Yeah, well, you have them piped down through the thing. well, that's a whole other train. real quick, I just found out that. And everybody has their own way of processing mourning, so I apologize if this sounds like I'm making fun of anyone's, but my mother-in-law's sister passed away. Her mother passed away years ago, obviously. Right. And so what they're going to do is, I think the word is exhume. I don't know if you only say that for a mummy and not a regular person, but...
I think it's still exhume.
All right. So they're going to exhume my grandmother-in-law and so that they can bury the ashes of her daughter with her. And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why, but that's just weird. And then expected everyone to come and be there for it.
Don't you want to be a part of this creepy situation?
The only thing I want to be a part of, and here's the thing. If this is the first time you're ever listening to this podcast, go back a few episodes. This is going to be a pretty punchy episode, so I'm going to apologize for that in advance. And I'm going to apologize to my guest. But I got a little bit of fire in my belly, and the only reason I would want to be there is I'd like to hear that like Tupperware popping sound when they pop the casket. I don't know if they're going to be putting them in there, or if they're just going to throw them on top, or what the real situation is. But here's what I've learned in the past few months of my life is I have a weird perspective on death. But here's the real point that I called Andy right before we were about to do this, and Andy was at the store, and so it worked out good for my temper and probably my marriage. Because I took my son today to the dentist and always get a raving report. We get no plaque at all on the kid's teeth. And I'm like, yeah, we're hitting it out of the park. I bought him an $80 like Sonicare kid's toothbrush and stuff.
Good
and
Lord.
I brush his teeth for him, or he brushes his own teeth in the morning, and then we brush them for him at night per the dentist's instructions. The dentist also said with the back two molars, he's 4 years old, so those back two molars are the only real place that there isn't a gap in between the teeth that the toothbrush can kind of already get to.
Right.
So they said they use these little floss wands, and you just dig around in there real quick. Doesn't take much time. Now, I am in charge of getting the kid to the school, so I do the brush teeth in the morning. Now, do I have a perfect record? No, I'm not going to claim that at all. There have been days that have gone by where he didn't brush his teeth in the morning. And then one day I was buckling him in his car seat and got a waft of that dragon breath he was carrying. Mm. And I said, we got to remedy this situation stat.
Yeah.
So now I'm on top of it and all that. But it's here's the thing. My wife is in charge of the nighttime routine. And it's unfortunate, A, that she is my wife for her. You know, and it just...
What? It's unfortunate for her that she's my wife.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know, maybe I'm not phrasing that sentence correctly, but what I'm saying is that it's not an easy position, I guess. In my opinion, of course it is. And this is also why I'm excited. I don't know if you've heard, Andy, but we're getting a marriage counselor and therapist, sex therapist, that's going to be a regular guest on the show. So I'm very excited to pick her brain. I chose a female. And I didn't really choose. She was the first. I decided to look for a female to see if I could find one because I thought that it might be nice that she could also weigh in on what our wives are kind of thinking for us.
Yeah.
But
mine's thinking.
you don't need her help with that. You don't need that.
It really seems to be really right out there. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. That's what we do. This is just a conversation between two dads. That's all I'm asking. And I talk a lot anyway. So if you don't interrupt, you're not going to get a word in.
I'm host. I got you.
Yeah.
So
I go to the dentist. The lady cleaning the teeth gives me another no plaque. Everything's awesome. And then they do the X-rays, and the dentist pokes around. Is like, everything's great. And then just as I'm leaving, she just glances over at the X-rays, like, wait a minute. Oh, Dad. And this is a part that's kind of annoying, is that this, while she's, I'm sure, very good at her job, she's a dentist for kids, so she unfortunately has to talk to everybody like they're a kid.
Right.
So I'm a 34-year-old man getting to go, oh, Dad, yeah, we got a cavity. Oh, gee. And I was like, okay, well, what does that mean? What do we do? Like, and I've had the dentist tell me that you've got a little bit of a starting of a cavity, so just get up on the flossing better and maybe do some mouthwash a little bit more, and we'll see
be
if it
diligent,
recovers.
Be diligent.
Yeah, and it recovered. Like, it was fine. They're like, okay, yeah, no, you're fine. But so she's like, yeah, oh, and there's another one here. So, yeah, I go, okay. And then they just kind of – they do that fucking car salesman bullshit where they just look at you like you – Like, here's the thing. Like, there's lots of professions in this world that we don't have a fucking clue what you do. And if you have a DR in front of your name, chances are that's a big fucking part of it. Like, you're supposed to be a goddamn expert, and I'm not supposed to know diddly shit about what you know. You can't point at a fucking X-ray that I've only seen in the background of season 8 of House and say, oh, see this little spot here? That's what's wrong. There's a problem there. And then just stop there and look at me with, like, and she kept doing this, like doing the, this is awkward, you know?
I don't know how to tell you that, how did your kid get AIDS in the mouth?
Exactly.
I don't really know. Like, what? How can you see that in an X-ray? We all know.
He spends a lot of time in opium dens. It's kind of like play dates for his friend. Yeah, so I'm sitting there, I'm like, and so I have to always say that, well, what does that mean? And then they go, oh, we're going to have to put a filling in there. And in my mind, like, here's the thing. I don't understand why my son has to have fillings on teeth that are literally about a year away or so from starting to fall out. Like, I just don't.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. I have the exact same thing. Like, when they tell you stuff, they're like, well, now we need to go ahead. Like, they sealed all my or a couple of my 11-year-old's teeth recently. And they're like, well, we need to put a sealant on these. And I'm like, yeah, I think those are still going to go, right? Like, who gives a turd? Like,
yeah.
If it turns black and bleeds, I realize that's not really what I'm saying.
No, I know what you mean.
It's going to fall out. What, why are we so concerned about that? And what they always tell you is, well, what happens to the baby teeth actually affects the adult teeth that come in. I'm like,
how?
That sounds like, it's like, say, like, it sounds like a crock of.
It does, right?
Yeah, it sounds like a bill of goods. That's the term I was looking for. It sounds like they're trying to sell you a bill of goods. You're like,
right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that, I mean, that's like saying, you know, now, if we wash this shirt with bleach, it'll ruin it and all your other shirts, even though they're sitting in the drawer over there. I'm like, wait a minute. I mean, it sounds like BS to me. So I'm with you.
And here's, I'm not that guy. I'm not the guy who looks at a doctor or a dentist and says, I don't think you know what the fuck you're talking about. And it's a weird thing. And I'm not, here's the thing. I'm not pro like national healthcare either. That's not what I'm trying to say either. But it's just, there's a weird element to it where that there is, they're trying to make some money. You know what I mean? And you, and in these instances, you can't help but overlook, you can't like kind of go,
I
feel like that's kind of what's going on here. And it's only $200. I mean, so it's not like, it's not like I'm paying their mortgage. You know what I mean? It is covered by insurance and the whole thing. I looked at the total bill is like $350 total. So it's just that now my kid's got to have laughing gas, and the only payoff for that is that maybe I could make a viral video because that seems to be the thing now. You know, maybe he can help catapult my career.
Jump on that craze, I hear you.
Yeah, but the real issue that I have is that my wife is in charge of the tooth brushing at night, and so I just sent her a message and said, have you been flossing his molars? Now, before anybody jumps on a soapbox, because I know we have a lot of moms and wives that listen to this show, and I'm sure that I sound like the most misogynist.
Is your wife one of those?
No. She used to be. Now, evidently, she's better than that. I don't know. And I say that mostly because I'm very...
Maybe she heard an episode. and that's why she doesn't... I mean, I'm just saying.
I've said far worse things about her than what I'm about to say when she was a regular listener, and it never really bothered. We have a lot of honesty. It's not like I don't pull punches. You know what I mean? And so,
wait, you punch your wife? This is getting worse.
What are you talking about? You don't hit yours? How do you expect them to sleep with you if you don't hit them?
And then they can't stay in line if you don't hit them, right?
You're never going to get laid if you don't give them a black eye every now and then. This is really inappropriate.
That is
yeah, really. You know what's wrong with me is that I have the comedian brain where I feel like it's okay to say things like that, but then I am also a person, and I'm especially like on stage, I would never even think twice about saying this kind of stuff. But when I'm here, I just want everybody listening to know that there's an element of me that goes, what if there's somebody who's going through that? Like, that always has to fucking plague my mind, even though I know that there isn't. And I'm hoping that everybody understands that it's just a fucking joke to make you giggle a little bit.
No. One hopes that if somebody's going through that, this podcast is not their, I'm not, you know, no dig at you.
No, I know what you mean. This isn't their way out, like their salvation.
You know what? It's the worst time of my life. What saved me was this guy bitching about his wife.
And I was like, that's where I draw the line when he made that joke. But it's funny, too. You're right in that I'm going to sidetrack one more time. So now we're second generation sidetrack.
My fault.
That's okay. This is what I like about doing the show. They're doing this thing for my high school drama department, and because it's failing and they're trying to save it. And so they're getting everybody to put videos together, everybody that's graduated from it, and say, this is how it affected my life, you know? And so I made a video saying that I met my wife there and now we have two children. And so I made a bit out of it where I was like, I go, so really, if you shut down this department, think of the countless lives that will be lost in the future. And that's how I ended my video, because I think
you should have done it. You should have done it the opposite way. Be like, it ruined my life.
Pull the plug on that bitch. Shut her down. She's ruining everything.
Look at these bloodsuckers that we've spawned.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was my original idea. My original idea is that I was going to say, without the drama department and the fantastic teacher there, Miss H, I would not have met my wife and had my two children. So at this point, I think we're even. So I don't really care what happens. But anyway, so we're talking, everybody's talking about how they're trying to send in pictures from old shows and submit their videos. And this guy who's a friend of mine that I played a lot of Pop Warner football with, and he was kind of a jock and and more in the cowboy group of the, you know, how they have those cowboy cliques at schools, and I don't know if they have them everywhere, but they did it. Yeah. But anyway, he made this comment. He asked when I was coming up for this thing, and I said, I'm going to be in and out. And he goes, oh, that's gay. Well, then this girl gets on there that doesn't know either of us and goes, that's gay, really? And so then he has to go talk to her privately on their own Facebook page. And then he comes back and he says, don't worry, we worked out our issues offline. He goes, everything is good. And so I wrote, fag. and I said
and of course, this is something that, guys will do, and especially comedians.
Right.
Uh, you know, I, it's, it, it, it just, it's all, you know, and it's not even just like gay. I you know, I have, I got a couple of black friends, and I love, you know, anytime they'll say, you know, something, this will happen, that'll happen. I'll be, well, it's because you're black, you know, yeah. And they laugh, I laugh, and it's always awesome. But right. I get the feeling I know where that story's going.
Right. Well, then I go. So I said, I put like the ellipses or whatever, the dot, dot, dot. I said, what? What did I say? Too soon? And then I said, I go, if it's any consolation, I have lots of gay friends that are totally cool with me using the word midget. And so then my friend comes back on. He's like, dude, I just got out of trouble, and you're going to open this can of worms on me again, you know, kind of thing. And so here's my point. I go, am I the only one that is seeing the irony in that we're having a homophobic conversation in a chat room about saving a high school drama department? Like, this is a B plot line from Glee is what we're talking about right now.
That's the whole synopsis of Glee. Yeah, that's the whole show.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that this is not the front lines on gay rights. Like, this is not where the battle needs to be fought. I think we could let the dude in the Air Force who let the word gay fly by use the way it was when he grew up. You know what I mean? Why can't he get a pass like Grandpa did with colored? That's all I'm trying to say. And I said, I go, and on top of that, the dude, he's in the Air Force, and he volunteers for Army missions to go around and help the Army clear villages and stuff and find guys that are insurgents and all that stuff. So he's walking around in the deserts of Iraq carrying an assault rifle. I go, do we really think anyone here can tell him what words he can and can't say while he's defending democracy? So go fuck yourself. You know, that's my honest opinion towards this chick, you know. And I found out later that she is gay. So, and this is the other thing. And again, I know I'm punchy right now and inappropriate, so I hope it's entertaining. But I just feel like, the only time that it's better to be gay is 10 years from now. Like, if she was gay in the 1940s, then yes, please get up on a soapbox. But you know, when you literally have pictures of you and your partner plastered all over your Facebook page and everything like that, like, come on, like, I don't know, maybe. And here's the thing: this is where I think I am sounding like the old. This is what will be for yours and my generation, Andy. We will be the guys in the senior home using the word gay, just like our grandfather said the word colored and Negro, and that we're like, oh, okay, like, you know, like our kids are gonna go, oh, well, that's, he's just setting his ways, you know. Like,
well, unless I'm in a rest home full of comedians, that's not gonna happen. That is the only place that I only do it to the black people. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God. Andy, we have had a flurry of amazing business ideas on the show lately, I think we just struck.
A rest home just for comedians.
Holy
would be
shit.
Awesome.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that? Because everybody there is going to be having a good fucking time. We're going to live easily 15 years longer. The only problem is that the female comics aren't going to want to bang the male comics. They're just going to make fun of our limp dicks. So we won't, that's the only catch for our situation, is that we'll be very happy and laughing a lot, but we won't, so we'll have that add extra years onto our life, but we won't be like the one guy who can still get it up is just banging every woman in there, you know? Oh man, that's the only downfall. And think of the volunteers that we would get. Who wouldn't want to serve community service at a rest home for comedians? Oh my God, that would be great. Nothing but whoopee cushions and everything everywhere. I like that when you get old, you turn vaudeville. That's stupid. Anyway. So to get back to my story, so I sent a text message to my wife, and I said, hey, would you say you floss every night when you brush Jacob's teeth? And she goes, pretty much. She goes, why? I go, because he has a cavity in between his back two molars on the upper left side, right? And I said, so would you say it happens more often than not? Like, because it pisses me off that you know where I'm fucking going with this. Why the fuck else would I bring it up? Why would I come to you and say, hey, are you flossing every night?
Because that's a weird question.
Yeah.
How are you today?
And stop. Here's the thing. Stop talking to me like I'm a fucking retard and then I don't already know the answer when you say, well, yeah, pretty much. Like, just say, oh, shit, did I drop the ball? Like, here's the thing. My attitude changes when the text message I get back to her is, oh, shit, I dropped the ball. He's got a cavity, doesn't he? Oh, man, I feel like shit. Then I'm going to kind of go, yeah, you kind of screwed the pooch. But when you try and, like, fucking act like you're my teenage daughter instead of my goddamn wife and talk like beat around the bush about it? It's just like, come on.
I'm more impressed that you or your wife can actually floss your children's teeth. And you made a joke earlier when we were talking on the phone, and it's a valid one. You were like, "Well, you're in the South, y'all don't really care."
Yeah.
And
well, yeah, I said,
I'm not saying I didn't witness such a mouth or 12 just this past weekend. But I'm just saying in Kentucky, but I'm just saying that my children, like just to brush my children's teeth, my 11-year-old, I'm like, it's on you, dude.
Yeah.
If you don't do it, I'm not dealing with it. I mean, I can't remember what age we're like, look, if you want to go toothless, you know, so be it. You remember what crazy Papa looked like? That's you. That's what you're going to look like. You're going to look just like him if you don't, you know, brush. So, yeah. But the 5-year-old, you got to brush your teeth. She'll do it, but then you've got to step in and do it too. And she cries every time. She'll cooperate for about 5 seconds, and then she wants to, you know, like, you know, when you're brushing your teeth, there's a point where you got to spit.
Yeah.
Well, for me, I could probably brush my teeth for 2 minutes if I ever did.
Yeah.
Without having to spit.
Uh huh.
But for her, it's literally 2 seconds. You get that toothbrush in there, and she's like, I got to spit. She goes to spit, and nothing comes out.
Yep.
And it's just crying and trying to brush. And then I'm a big dude. I am not squatting down so that I am face level with her. She's already on a stool. I just need her to look up at me so I can do a better job on those top teeth. And you're hurting me. And she always has some sort of mouth ulcer constantly. The dentist says it's some sort of condition where it's just like, well, she'll always have these. I'm like, well, that's refreshing to know that she'll always have mouth ulcers. And she doesn't just call them sores, S-O-R-E. She calls them swords.
Oh, swords.
You're hurting my swords. And so, with a D, so yeah, it's constant. My sword. I'm like, oh dude, if I had a sword, I'd use it on myself. So I wouldn't have to do this anymore because this is, I mean, it's torture. You, and it's like, if you've ever been like, well, I can't imagine why anybody would let their children's teeth go. Like, oh, let me tell you, brush their. So, you know, again, sounds like you have, as you were telling me, you brush your children's teeth in the morning, mm-hmm. but it's your wife who does the evening, job of it, and maybe they're total turds for your wife in the evening.
No, because I hear it. And here's the other part of it is that, and this is where it really sucks to be my wife, because I'm not any wife who listens to the show that can find any kind of semblance of this situation in their life, and they don't have a husband who jumps halfway up their ass every time. Just give the dude a BJ 2 more times than what you normally do. Whatever he's into, you know what I mean? Do a little reverse cowgirl, something. I don't know why it has to be sexual. Maybe it is a favorite meal. But I'm just saying, here's what I'm saying. This is what I'm honestly saying. If it's easy and you don't mind cooking your favorite meal, but you're kind of like, reverse cowgirl is not really my thing, then go reverse cowgirl. That's the thing that he wishes you did more often. But does it because he likes you and he's a better husband than me, isn't going to tell you that this is what I would really like you do it. And then you do it, and then you just have the happiest man in the world. Because here's the problem is with me is that I do everything, okay? And I know I've beaten this fucking dead horse on this show left and right, but I do. I manage the finances. I take care of the kids. I clean the house. I do it all. And she goes to work, and she punches in, and she punches out, and she comes home. Now, does she help occasionally? It's not like she's just completely oblivious to the relationship. Of course not. Of course not. But do I have a single ounce of hyperbole? No. I'm the one who's responsible for the financial future, and I like that. I'm not completely ignorant to that either. That's what, in my opinion, that's what a man is supposed to do. But on the flip side to that, what a man is not supposed to be thinking about, in addition to taking care of the finances, figuring out how we could pay for this fucking house we're trying to buy and working out my own career and all that stuff, is I'm also not supposed to be spending time thinking about our children's teeth when it has been decided that you will do the bedtime routine. So when you drop the fucking ball on the 0.5 things that you have to do, that's when I'm going to fucking jump up your ass like Patton. I'm going to be like, listen, get your shit together because you got 2 to my 30 things to do. And this is where I say this to bring up for the dads, because I think that more often than not, there are a lot of dads that listen to the show and their wives do everything. If you have a wife who balances your checkbook and pays all the bills and you just go to work and you punch in and you punch out and you come home, make sure if there's something that she says that she'd like for you to do or if it's part of you, don't fuck that up. Because all she's counting on is for that to be the one goddamn thing that you don't have, that she doesn't have to think about, or that you don't have to think about. And that's really what I think marriage is ultimately about. You have this shared sense of responsibilities, and either buddy, you just don't fuck up your side of things, and everybody walks away happy, and you get to have sex every now and then.
Every now and then. Twice? You mean like twice a year?
I mean, yeah, I don't know, Andy. I know I'm putting you on the spot here because here I know I'm ranting and I'm raving and I'm being a lunatic.
No.
But
I mean, you know, it's very funny because when you, you know, I think if you listen to the several episodes I've done, I'm just so guarded, which I shouldn't be. I should just be as open as everybody else. But I'm really guarded about the way I say certain things, you know. And I don't. My wife will never listen to a podcast, so it's not. You know, I shouldn't sit around going, she will. But you know, I don't want somebody going, you know, your husband said this about this.
Don't even worry about it. You just couldn't talk about my relationship is fine.
Yeah. No. I empathize because and it sucks because. It's you and I are in a very similar situation.
Right.
We're both comedians. We're home during the day, during most of the week.
Yep.
Which gives you time to do all those things you said. You clean. I do the bills. I do almost all of the cooking, which I still get fussed at about because I'm like, oh, we're having that. I'm like, what did you cook? So I you know, and it's like, really? Hey, you know what? I've explained to her, I'm like, you know, it's really hard for me because if you left me be and I live by myself, I would eat, you know, bacon something for breakfast. Yep. I would eat a cheesesteak for lunch and I would eat pizza for dinner and Mexican, you know, for a whole day the next day and then just repeat that cycle. It would just be like that nonstop and it wouldn't bother me. I would love it. But you people are picky as crap, so I don't do that. And so, but it's one of those things where it's like, I do all this stuff now. If you come to my house and say, well, this isn't very clean. No, it's not. I also do a lot of graphic design work during the day.
Exactly.
Turns out you can't fold all the laundry and make logos and things like that. So I try to get in as much as I humanly can. And, but my wife, you know, oddly enough, not oddly enough, but thankfully enough, earns the you know, she's the breadwinner of the house.
The lion's share.
She's the lion's share. She's the breadwinner. I am not. If it was all on me, we would be living under a bridge for sure. And but the thing is like, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying she'll say like, oh, I've got a tough job, and she does. What she does is. She's a grants manager and she does all this stuff. So it's very, it's important, but she'll come home and be like, oh, what a day. And in my head, I'm like, you know, you work in a building. Like, you know, I always think about like, don't tell me you had a rough day sitting behind a computer complaining to people on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, this, that, and the other, because to me, a rough day is a dude, you know, digging a ditch and then it collapses in on him. That's a rough day.
Right.
So I always think about like compared to manual labor, you can't, it's not that difficult, but she does, she has rough days, you know, people are turds wherever you work. So, it is what it is, but you know, she'll come home and then she'll get on this. She got an iPad for Christmas, never played video games, never a big, and ever since she got that, she'll come home and do that for hours. And she'll get home at 7 o'clock and the kids, you know, start going to bed around 8, somewhere between 8 and 9, you know, we're bathing and putting kids to bed. And I'm like, If you only participate in the bathing, you know, then you're only seeing them and yelling at them as they're headed to bed.
Yes.
You didn't talk to them at all during the meal. You didn't talk. You've sent them away after the meal because they've driven you crazy. You didn't get them dressed and take them to school in the morning. So, you know, it's like I tried to point it out to her and I'm like, can you just, you know, I'll say it in the night. I try to do it in the nicest way, but I suck at it in terms of like, well, could you just. do this, because I don't ever want her to, and I've said something one time that set her off, like, what are you trying to say, that I don't do anything around here? I'm like,
yep.
And I'm like, well, you know, and I, because I don't, I do, what I don't need back in my face is, you know, I've been at work all day making sure that we're not homeless.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't need that.
Right.
And so, you know, basically, I've tried to point out to her, you know, there's so millions of housewives and their husbands, you know, don't, you know, and their husbands do come home and don't pay attention to the kids and whatnot, but there's others that do. And I'm like, I'm not saying you don't pay attention to the kids, but like the other night I was like, can you just help Olivia do her homework? She's five. Her homework is a joke. I realize that she's at a daycare preschool. And so for her to do her homework, it's like, you know, it's just busy work. You know what I mean? For kids, so that they, you know, and that they do learn, but it's just busy work. And I'm like, can you just help her do that real quick? Well, she was home with me all day long, but I had stuff to do. And my wife was like, what did you want me to do? Like, she didn't even hear me when I asked. Like, I just want you to help her learn how to write the number five. I don't care. I'm trying to, I'm trying to get the other one to not lose her mind and pack to go to Kentucky. And if you could just, oh, you're killing me. So it was just, it was one of those things where I'm like, and she was literally on the iPad and playing a game. And it was like, well, you know, you could just tell the look in her eye was like, well, when I finish this game, and if I remember what you just said, I'll help her.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just one of those things where I understand that she's busy and that, you know, when she comes home, doesn't want to have to deal with all that crap. But you're like, man, every now and then I'm like, oh, if you could just help me out with this, because I swear I'm not. And I say it all the time. I'm like, you know, I'm not sitting around here doing nothing all day. I have at times when I first didn't have a day job, but that doesn't happen anymore. I literally don't have a lot of spare moments.
Right. And here's the thing, like on the same note, is that recently, and I can't remember if I've had a chance to share it on the show yet, but my wife, she's been getting a little bit more sleep at night because, you know, Jack, our little one, hasn't been waking up, you know, so he'll go through the whole night.
Sweet.
And just so I'm clear, it's not like, because my wife is the one that gets up and gets out of bed, he goes and gives him the pacifier. It's not like I'm the one who's resting peacefully that entire time either. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just, I'm not the one who's getting up and getting out of bed and going. But so she started getting up, and she would actually, she used to get up at 6:30 in the morning with the boys. And then she would, you know, let me sleep in, but then I would stay in there for another 15 minutes and then get up. Cause I'm like, if I sit here any longer, I'm fucked. So I would come down, and she would be kind of half passed out on the couch while the kids are watching cartoons, still in their PJs. So I would come down, make them breakfast, make Jacob's lunch for school. And then sometimes she would get them dressed or whatever and help me out there. But recently what she started doing is that, because she feels more rested, is that she would just make the lunch, have the boys fed for breakfast. And then even a couple of times had them dressed like before the day. And I was like, I came downstairs and I go, oh, okay, I'll make breakfast. They were eating. I go, oh, okay, great. And they're dressed. And I go, great, I'll make Jacob's lunch. She goes, I already did it. I said, really? And she was like, yeah. And I checked it like a dick, and just to make sure it was, and it was solid. It was a solid lunch. Like it was enough.
I checked it.
I did. I mean, I don't call me a dick, but I mean, there's only so, you know, and,
No. Protein, fruits, vegetables,
right.
a little snack, maybe a dessert of some kind. But, you know, yeah, I'm with you.
Right. And here's the thing. That's kind of the overall tone and theme that's coming out of this little experience that I've had, is that inevitably there is going to be someone within the relationship who is more connected and in tune to the children, and then there is going to be someone who isn't. That's just – it seems to be the natural – order of things is that, and traditionally the way it used to be is that the dad was out, you know, bringing home the bacon, and that the mom was supposed to be responsible. And then there's good and bad of that situation. What's good in that is that there was an expectation of women to understand how to care for a home. And then there was an expectation of men that knew how to fix a car and, you know, knew that they had to find a good job in order to have a family and stuff. And then there's a little bit of a consequence that comes from, you know, the gender roles being swapped around.
Oh,
Where it's a little gray. And I think that maybe our generation is kind of at the tail end of that. Like, I think our kids are going to grow up and they're not even going to have any fucking idea of who's supposed to be doing what, and I'm sure that it's better. Because with this new way, what you get is situations that I think are kind of like yours and mine, Andy, where it's not like our wives are incompetent or that they're horrible parents, and that's not what either one of us is saying. What we're saying is that we just seem to be, maybe for the reason of just being around or just naturally who we are as people, we seem to be the ones who are more in tune to the children. Now, if we were in our same marriages and this is happening in, you know, 1942, then we got a really fucked up situation at home. You know what I mean? Because we got two guys that can't really earn a lot of money.
Right, exactly.
And we've got women who really don't know how to take care of kids, you know, and they don't get it.
And that's, you know, that's the thing. It kills me because I went, I had a gig this weekend and I went to the World Series of Comedy in Kentucky, and on Saturday, I left Friday morning really early, and on Saturday afternoon, I still hadn't heard from my wife. Not a big deal, because honest to God, I kind of have a thing where I'm like, I'd really just rather not talk to you unless I can see you, because it's never good.
Yeah.
I never have a good conversation with my wife on the phone, which is terrible, but it's true. And so I was like, well, I don't, you know, I'll call. So I texted her, and I'm like, hey, are you at that kid's party, or can you talk? And she writes back, it's like 4:45 in the afternoon. She's like, we're eating. I haven't had anything good to say, which is why I haven't called. And that's just, and I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And she then just proceeds to, so I was like, oh, okay, well, if now's a bad time, we won't talk. And I was in a hotel room, so I ran out to my car to get something. I come back and my phone, which was charged, was ringing, and I pick it up, and it's my kids. I'm like, oh, she had the kids call. So I'm talking to my kids, and it's weird how my five-year-old I can understand better than my 11-year-old, who mumbles and talks low, and I'm like, dude, you got to stop. So anyway, I'm talking to those idiots, and finally my wife gets on the phone and proceeds to tell me how while they were at this museum for this kid's birthday party, my five-year-old acted like a nut job, rolling on the ground, literally throwing a tantrum outside where the dinosaurs are, and for 30 minutes, which my wife exaggerates, so it was probably a good 10. And at some point, my wife was going to talk to the mother of the birthday girl, walks towards her, steps down, falls, hurts her ankle, and just completely lays out on the sidewalk.
Oh, no.
And then is really mad now because she's hurt herself, and my five-year-old is throwing a tantrum.
Yeah.
While my 11-year-old's, like, digging for dinosaur or shark's teeth or whatever. And, you know, I'm like, every time, it's just like we said, that every time I leave the house, every time, like, you know, because again, my wife leaves the house too. She's going to Nairobi in May. She just went to, you know, where, Indonesia a couple months ago. Every time she leaves the house, I don't call her over in Indonesia. I barely can contact her. I'm not calling her going, well, we had knife fights tonight, and
that's what
I wasn't paying attention, and somebody lost a digit, but, you know, whatever.
But it's just a Tuesday. That's how it is.
Yeah. So and the thing is I can't say anything about, like, you know, well, you know, maybe she's aloof and just not aware of them or whatever, because if that's anybody, that's me. I am, you know, I got the ADD. If anybody's like, I wasn't watching her while I was making dinner, which is why she did destroy the room. I can't multitask on two floors. I can maybe do it on one floor, but not two floors. So, you know, so I completely understand of, like, well, you know, let the kids alone and they'll do whatever. And if all of a sudden you find out that they mixed some chemicals upstairs and now there's a hole through our whole house, you know, like, well, whatever. But, you know, I'm just kind of, I veered off, but what I was basically saying is along the same lines of, like, well, they have a connection with one or the other. My kids desperately want to be at my wife's. What my wife says is they like to crawl up her rear end, as she says. They just want to be. She goes, I've got magnets. They just want to be on me at all times.
Yes.
And my wife hates it. She hates it. She doesn't want them on her maybe more than 10 seconds a day. And it's not that it's not that my wife's one of these people like, oh, don't touch me, but
no, I know. Yeah.
But she kind of is, but not really, but it's very odd because I was laying in the bed yesterday. I got home. I was exhausted. I drove back from Kentucky for like 8.5 hours and I get back and I'm just kind of laying there. We haven't gone and eaten dinner yet or whatever. And And I'm laying on her arm. She's like, God, get off me. So I'm like, apparently never. Don't want anybody to touch you. And so, but with the kid. Now, the funny part is they are dying to be with her. Mm-hmm. She really would rather not. I love being around my kids if they're not going to act like the goobers that they do.
Right.
And they do constant. They are just huge turds nonstop. And I love to be around them. And they're always like, yeah, but where's mom? And I'm like, dude, I'm right here. And the best example is at night when it comes to sing songs or read books. Yeah. It's like, well, it's mommy's turn to sing songs and read books. And I said, mommy has been here for the last, 2 weeks or whatever. I was out last weekend. I was out this weekend. I just got home. It's my turn. Clearly, yeah. It's my turn to read and sing.
Yeah.
And then there's crying involved because mommy's not doing it. And I'm like, and my wife's like, good, I'm out of here. I'm sick of this crap. And I'm like, dude. So, yeah, it's amazing. And I don't know how to read that because, I always wonder, I'm like, well, is that how it's supposed to be? Am I supposed to have kids that hate me? You're supposed to grow up and hate your dad. And they don't hate me. They'd rather be around their mother who would rather not be around them.
No. Here's my interpretation on the outside looking in is that it's because you're there. That it's a human thing to want what you don't have.
Right.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
So it's because she works all the time, because it's the same kind of situation here, only my wife doesn't travel like yours does. And you know what I mean? Where she'll be gone right. like a week at a time. She's got a full-time job. But when mom comes home, holy shit, they act like dogs and they just go, ah, and they run towards her. And I could go away for the weekend and I come home and like, hey, dad's here. All yeah, right. Yeah. Like, and they come and give me a hug, but it's not the same. And it's just because even though I go for 3 or 4 days at a time, it's not consistent like it is with her. You know what I mean? Like they don't. And it's, I think it's just it's a completely natural thing. I think it's completely natural that it sounds like that while we both understand that it isn't digging ditches, that right. your wife's job requires a lot of mental.
Absolutely.
I know that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
So it's really hard for her because she doesn't feel like she gets some downtime. And we've all, every yeah. parent can relate to this.
And I think, I'm sure there are books written about this, but I would bet that it's all very natural. Naturally. Your kids should be drawn to their mother. For God's sakes, they grew inside of her.
Yeah.
And naturally, a woman should sort of be compelled to be around them and mother them because it's all natural. You know yeah. what I mean? Like that's biological. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
It's all biological. It seems like that should do. And so we've sort of turned that on its end, not just you and me, but like society as a whole. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think it, like in the case in my house, I think it, causes a rift in the time-space continuum where it's just like, putting your kids to bed shouldn't be a turd fest every night yes. of your life. And I feel like I am in it for at least another 14 years until my youngest one leaves because I have a new joke in my act I tell, and I always wonder, does anybody else have to suffer through this? But I feel like based on the very, positive response to the joke that a lot of people have to deal with this. But, here I am. I got 3 hours of sleep Saturday night. I went to bed at 3 a.m, got up at 6 to drive home. And I'm going to bed last night, and at 2 a.m, somebody is visiting me. Can you come get me some water? I'm like, well, first of all, you're 5, and you know how the sink works and a Dixie cup. But that's not what she was talking about. She's had like a sippy cup in her room that she's just like anytime she's ever thirsty.
Yeah, it sits there.
Yeah, and while that sounds awesome, she's still in pull-ups at night, and yep. I'm like, you have got to stop.
Yeah, stop drinking.
You don't need water. And so I, if you wake me up and I'm kind of half out of it, I am not good. And so I'm like chucking the sippy cup. I'm like, just drink out of the Dixie cup and just, you don't need that much water because however much you fill up, that's what she'll drink. And then,
yeah.
And oddly enough, she had a dry pull-up this morning, but it's one of those things where, and that's the other thing, like that's one of those things that usually my kids do not wake up my wife because she sort of has made it known. If you wake me up, I can't go back to sleep. and I don't want to be woken up, so don't wake me up. And Dad can literally do it with his eyes closed and go right back to sleep. So just bother Dad.
Yeah, go with that. Isn't that funny? Because it's like the guy with the bum leg or something like that. You're never going to ask him to help you move, or you know what I mean. Right. He's not going to help you hang your entertainment center up on the wall or any of that stuff. So if you're Uber handy and can fix shit, then you get lots of, just like being a doctor. Like you can. Could you take a look at this? Like, the more you know, the more you set yourself up for, is what a teacher used to tell me all the time, which I thought was great because she was a teacher. But anyway. here's the thing. To go back to what you were saying about the sleeping, is that this is what's interesting about parenting. There are parents out there that they are listening going, oh, man, I'm kind of annoyed with my bedroom routine, but I don't have that. And they're like, oh, so they're getting a little dose of perspective. And then there are also a lot of parents out there that are just like you that are like, right? Are you fucking kidding me right now? To me, that's the only ways that those two stories break. You know?
For me, and again, how old are your kids?
Mine are 4 and 2.
4 and 2. So mine are 11 and 5. And still with the 11-year-old, it's almost every night, to the point of not this past weekend, but the weekend before, I was off at a gig and my wife had taken her to a birthday sleepover, and my daughter called my wife at 1 in the morning just to tell her that she could not go to sleep. Now, my daughter takes 3 medications to sleep at night, one to sort of help make her drowsy, another one for restless leg, and another one just for being criminally insane or something. I can't remember what the third one's for. But she takes 3 medications. We made sure we sent them. She made sure she took them. But she's at a sleepover, something that you're allowing your child to do, something that those parents are allowing her to be there. And she's screwing it up royally by calling my house to tell us that she can't sleep. And my wife basically had to talk her down and be like, what do you want? You're going to have to wake up a whole house of people if I have to come get you. Because she was the only one awake. Everybody else was already asleep.
Yep.
And I was like, and that's the kind of crap she does at home. Like, you know, she'll be good for, you know, like 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden it's like every night, like, she cries about it. Like, I can't sleep. I'm like, well, do you want me to punch you in the face? Because that's the only option I've got left. I've medicated the crap out of you. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
You know, and I've found her, you know, late at night. I'll go to bed late at night and I'll go in there, poke my head in. She's playing a game on her iPod. My favorite is when I had to ban reading. Who has to ban reading because your child is up at 1 in the morning reading Harry Potter? You're like, well, that is idiotic. But, you know, nope. One of the many things. I have so many things that are so stupid that are banned at my house, like beads and Band-Aids and stuff like that, because your kids just do the dumbest things, you know. Yeah. Who would have to ban a Harry Potter book? Not because they think it's evil. It's like, well, she's read it 18 times and won't stop.
Yeah. That's the interesting part about it that I've been kind of exploring in my own act, too, is like these constant frustrations, and that I think it's an injustice that this thing is sold as a blessing. Not that it isn't, you know what I mean? Not that it isn't good.
Every time somebody,
such a blessing. Don't you want to punch him in the fucking throat?
Every time. And what I get is, after shows, somebody will always say to me 2 things. I'll always get somebody to say, wait till they're teenagers. I'm like, I can't, you don't understand. It can't get worse than this.
Exactly.
And then they'll be like, Don't knock them. They're so sweet. You know, they're going to be out of the house and you're going to wish they weren't. I'm like, you come live at my house. Come live at my house. Let's trade, whatever. I don't care. I'll take your Doberman Pinscher or your crackhead son. Let's do this. It can't get worse than this.
Don't you, like, here's what I think about those people, is that I feel like I wish I could be them. You know what I mean? To a certain extent, it's kind of like it's unfair on my end. I completely understand that I feel like it's a weird sense of ignorance that they have that I don't. Like, what? You know what I mean? Like, I don't honestly think I'm better, but I'm like, what is, like, to sit there and be blissfully happy, your brain kind of looks at somebody and just goes, well, they're kind of dumb then, right? Like, nobody could be like smart and have their shit together and just be, oh, it's such a blessing and a joy. And it pisses me off also because it's like, they must, what if there is that fact that they're doing something that I'm not doing? You know what I mean?
Oh, I'm always like, well, what's, you know, I always feel like somebody's got some sort of secret that I don't understand. I'm like, you know, I've walked by your house. I haven't heard a lot of yelling. What are you doing? You know, is there a lot of secret beatings in the basement or something? I don't understand.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny. I think my mother-in-law, who could not be a sweeter lady, kind of has that similar ignorance, and not ignorance like she's ignorant, but just she's very blissful about my children. She's, you know, if she watches them, she's like, well, they couldn't be sweeter. I'm like, no, you weren't watching my kids. They're, come on. And the thing is again, I've got girls. So people are always like, well, they're girls, they're sweet. And they can turn it on. They can turn on that charm. They're both very cute. The 5-year-old is super cute. But they are monsters. The two of them are just like insane. You know, from the moment they get up, they just do things that you're like, you got to be kidding me. You know, like, and I told my wife, I'm like, you know, you whine and cry the exact same way that your 11-year-old does when I wake the both of you up in the morning. Cause I know I have to get up because I have to get kids to school. And my wife, I mean, she has somewhat of a flexible schedule. She doesn't have to be there right at 8 o'clock. Some days she does. She's like, I have to be at work. I have a meeting at 8. Other days, like, my first meeting's not till 9. So if I get there by 8:30, that would be great, kind of thing. But she doesn't just get up when the alarm goes off, and it's country music, so I just want to kill myself. You know, and mine goes off. Mine will go off, and I'll wake up 2 seconds before it goes off, listen for it, bam, it goes off. I hit it, and I get up because I know I got stuff I got to do. Occasionally, I'll snooze, and I was like, well, that's another 7 minutes. I think I can still do everything, you know, in 53 minutes as opposed to an hour. And I get it all. I still get up and I get everybody up, and everybody's a grumpy sack of crap every morning. And I'm the guy who stayed up till 2 telling jokes.
Yeah.
And I'm home. I'm asleep. I'm getting up. So I've gotten the least amount of sleep of all of you, and everybody's a grumpy sack of crap.
Yeah.
And I've tried to go to everybody. I'm like, all right, let's get real nice.
Yep.
Let's get up. Let's everybody, you know, as nice as it can be. So I'm not yelling. And it turns into yelling within like 10 minutes or less. It's always like, what part of get up didn't you get? You know, and I put my foot on my daughter and just shake her, you know, like put it on her butt and just sit there and shake her. And she won't move. She's not saying anything, or I'll get, like, you're 11, stop. Turd. Or then you get them up, and because she has ADD, You're all right, you're up. I'm going downstairs. I'm making breakfast. I'm making your lunch. Let's do this. And she's supposed to catch the bus, you know, hopefully catch the bus at 7:40. If not, we live almost right beside the school practically, so it's not a big deal. But I'm like, I'm always hoping she'll catch the bus because I got to deal with another psycho in a few minutes. And it'll be 7:25, 7:30. She still hasn't come downstairs, and I got her up at 7. I'm like, what have you done for 20, 25 minutes that, you know, I'm like, oh. Don't yell at me. Anyway.
I like that. I like that you, in this episode, I feel like you sound like you were constantly stuck in act one of Mr. Mom.
Oh, by the way, one of my favorite movies, and I do have a blanket that I call my Whoopi. And I got that from Mr. Mom.
Isn't that a great movie?
I love that movie. And yeah, that's it. I my favorite part of that movie is when he tells his wife things that she's completely unaware of. I think that's it. That's it. It just all distilled down to, we live in the life of Mr. Mom. That's it. Holy crap, that just hit me. But my favorite part of the movie, when he's telling her all the stuff, and he's like, and I can't remember the little kid's name, but he's like, he gave up the Whoopi. And I'm like, ah, oh, why? I love my Whoopi. And by the way, my Whoopi is grown man size, and they threw mine away when I was down in the Atlantis so I got to get me a new one. I have one that I just stole from the Atlantis because they threw mine away. So, but it's not as good as mine. Anyway, I've overshared and rambled on once again, but
no, you haven't, Andy.
I think we have come to the conclusion that we live the life of Mr. Mom. Holy crap!
Yeah, that's. That's all we're doing. We're just trying to figure it out and make it make sense. And I'm still a little hung up on, and I don't know why, but I wish that I could find a way of getting through this idea of these people that say that it's a blessing. You know what I mean? That I really wish that I knew someone who was that
you
way.
Know, I think it's different for everybody. You know, I think there are people who have kids, their kids behave, their kids don't do, and I don't, you know, although I wonder sometimes, but I don't think my kids are going to grow up to be criminals or anything like that. And, you know,
you have such a positive outlook, Andy.
Well, I mean, you know, like,
the bar is, I just hope they're not going to be a criminal.
Without sounding like some sort of prude, but like, you know, I don't drink, never been drunk, never been high. I am an Eagle Scout. I kind of grew up that way. And so I feel like I am raising my children along those lines. I'm like, uh-huh. Yeah, we don't do this. Like, you know, like I curse like a sailor, but not on your podcast and not in front of my children as best as I can. Now, every now and then you're like, oh, they're I literally said one day, y'all are 10 seconds from learning every word you should know. you are just about to learn every word you should never know and some that have never existed. Come on,
that's my favorite thing in the world. I love it.
Yeah, they will work you to death, but
you're 10 seconds away from learning every word you should never know. Oh, god damn it, that is funny. Oh shit. Oh. I just like that because I could definitely like see myself. But the difference between you and I is that I just tell him. I go, listen here, little shit.
Get me wrong. It'll be just like with my dad. I remember my dad was kind of like he would try his best.
Yeah.
But all it took was one. Help me go change the oil in the car, and that's all you needed to learn every curse word because he wore contacts. And not goggles when changing the oil in the car. So it was just a constant barrage of crap getting in his eyes and him cursing because it felt like razor blades and boulders had fallen in his eyeballs. And it would just be like, oh, son of shit. You know, it's just nonstop.
Oh,
and they do at times seem like blessings. My children do some wonderful things. They say really cute things. My daughter is currently. Yeah, anyway, I'll save that for the thing at the end. But the stuff. I mean, you know, when I call my wife and every conversation is horrible when I'm on the road, which again is why I don't like talking on the phone. Then you're like, okay, well, is it them or is it her? And you're like, well, they're kind of turds when I'm home, so it feels like it's them. It's a little bit of her, but you know, it's a lot of them. And so I always wonder about like these people who talk about their children like they're Christ-like, and I'm like, so your kids never crapped in a weird location? Is that what you're telling me?
That's what I'm thinking right now. I want to sit down with them and just interview them. That's all.
Yeah. So what are the secrets that, you know, to be a very quiet and reserved parent who barely talks, and then your children will mimic that, and then they will also barely talk and move. Or, you know, like I don't know. And I'm, you know, are beatings really the secret? Because I get the feeling that they're not. I mean,
no.
that doesn't happen in my house. But you know, I have popped my kids on the rear end once or twice just for smack talk, just like, you know, and it's like, and I hate it. Oh, I hate it. Even it's just like. But they, you know, and that doesn't work. So you're like, well, that'll, you know. So I don't know. I don't know the secrets to it. And I know, and I'm not really big on reading books because I'm illiterate. No, I don't like to, you know, the idea that somebody else is convinced that they're so much better at this irritates the snot out of me. You know what I mean?
I can imagine. Yeah, I could. Yeah,
and I'm not saying that's not a dig at. You know, there are people who studied it and they do know and the psychology of it and that sort of thing. So there are people who are smarter, but there's other people who are just like, well, let me tell you, here's how you be a good parent. And,
yeah.
And what my favorite is when I get the other parents around me, it was like, well, you really should read this book because it's done wonders for me. Oh, you mean you and your psycho child? Sure, sure, of course. You know, your child doesn't seem like they're going to prison. Sure, of course.
Well, I think
they clearly do.
I think what you're talking about is the psychology that a lot of parents carry around with them is that, isn't it weird that for those, I lump all of us listening to the show into this group, is that all of us that really do care and really love the shit out of our kid and want to do like a really awesome job of raising our kids, yeah, are the only ones who are burdened with the fear of whether or not what we're doing is right, which is completely antithetical to the issue. Real issue, in my opinion, this is my personal theory, is that it is indifference. It is being indifferent to how your children are growing and behaving, and indifferent to how you are treating them and checking and making sure, like, is this what we want? Is this our plan? Is this our goal?
Yes, I know what you're saying. Yes, exactly.
It is that level of indifference that actually creates the problem, in my opinion, that there are people who could just, like, go, like, here's the thing. I look down my nose at people who bring a 6-month-old to Disneyland, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not who I should be targeting. You know, that's not really what I should be doing. Is I should be targeting the woman who's yelling about how, you know, she's gotten a knife fight with her third ex-boyfriend while she's carrying a 4-month-old on her hip. That's the person that I should be going after. Or the dad who's fathered 8 different children from 9 different moms. Do the math on that. And he's nowhere to be found.
Wait,
that's the one.
Do math. I'll be back.
Figure that out. But you know what I mean? That's the person that we should be barking at and yelling at. And then there's also, you compound on top of that, the psychology that it's like you want to also kind of naturally be good, that there it's a little bit, and it's unfortunate. I don't think it's true. I think it's just how we're wired. There's a little bit of, if I need this resource, then I'm kind of already failing. And that is wrong. Like that, I mean, that, but I could definitely, I hope it doesn't sound like I'm telling you that you're wrong. I'm saying I could definitely relate completely to the mentality that you're describing. And it goes back to what I've said before on the show, is that it really does blow my mind that there is no child development course of study in our high schools. If that is going
absolutely
to be our final
absolutely
step, I mean, of educating people, that's where we need to teach people, maybe not how to parent, maybe we don't have to go that far.
Don't but they if, do that crap where they're like, can you take care of an egg or a sack or some stupid
– yes.
Like, you know, that's not really the problem. It's taking – like, I'm not saying people don't have problems taking care of babies. That never really seems to be the issue. Like, what they should do is hire my children to go home with some high school teenagers. And then those teenagers go, all right, I'm never having sex, at least not until I'm 30.
Right.
Because God almighty, I don't want any of that. I'm telling you, you can hire out my kids. They can childproof. They can show you what's not childproof about your house.
Yep.
They can show you exactly how not to behave. So it's. I mean, yeah, that's. I agree. It would be nice to have some sort of course in those regards. And you know, it's funny because you know, I've, it's like when my wife gets mad at me, and I'm like, you know, I don't wake up going, man, how can I piss her off? You know, I just, I do what I do, and I, you know, I try to always point out, you know, I'm a comedian. Like, despite the fact that I haven't been on stage my whole life, really, that's kind of been my whole goal my whole life. So I only want to make people laugh and that sort of thing. And I don't wake up going, man, how can I make these people mad at me?
Yeah.
And how can they tick me off? But I will say, you know, I do have that part of my brain where it's just constantly overanalyzing things, and then I make myself mad about things that you know, haven't even happened or that I'm predicting. I literally did that at dinner last night where I told my wife and my daughter to basically to shut up without saying shut up. I'm like, I just said, all right. And they're like, what? I'm like, I can already tell where this is going. Y'all are going to berate me that I mentioned I have a brand new car, and there was something that looked a little odd about it. And my wife's like, well, you know, you be sure and, you know, we need to take that to the dealer because it's a new car. And my daughter was like, yeah, Dad, you know, because it's new. And I could tell they were moments away from going, because you don't want to do your normal where you just let this go and forget about it and the warranty's out and it's not covered. They were literally 3 seconds away from going into that. And I just was like, all right, you're good enough.
Thank
and they
you.
Both looked at me like, what?
What?
I'm like, and I just told them that exact scenario. I just like, I knew where it was going. Y'all were getting ready to berate me. I had a really good weekend. I don't need to do that. I don't need you to do that to me. So,
Well then let's adjust the tone here and let's do some moments of the week. How say you?
Moments of the week. Absolutely. Yeah, we all definitely right. I got to pick one up from school here.
All right.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
But
I'll go first. It was kind of fun. We went to go visit. I had some gigs up in Northern California, and so I went early, and we spent the night at my grandma's house. And we live in an apartment in Burbank, and my grandma, obviously, she lives up in Modesto where I grew up, and it's the house that I used to play in, and my grandfather would build these, like, cheap-ass, redneckified tree houses and stuff in, and sweet. Those are all gone. Like, once all the grandkids got old enough, he tore it all out because he didn't want to maintain anything, so it's a lot of cactus and stuff that he puts out there because they require no watering.
Kids playing with cactus.
Right. Well, that, and it was funny because it was just cool for me to watch both of my boys run around in the same house and backyard that I spent a good chunk of my young childhood playing in. And it was nice because, you know, my grandfather's passed away, and so my grandmother was there, and she got to play with the kids, and she made a couple comments. She's like, oh, Grandpa would have loved that. But it wasn't in a sad way, which was good. And my son caught roly-polies, and my grandma gave him a jar, and then that's something that I thought was interesting.
You took them and you ate them.
Right. What I thought was interesting was that in his world, I could actually look up what do roly-polies eat. And I, instead of just putting grass in there like we always did, and then come to find out, hey, heads up, guys, roly-polies don't eat grass. What they eat is rotten wood and dried leaves and stuff. And so I found some stuff, and I told him what they ate. And then so he was feeding it and everything, and so he had this little pet. And it was just fun. It was cool to watch them run around and get to play and go outside. And my dad was playing them with his hoses. My grandfather had rigged garden hoses off of one spigot, and they branched out to these two little bowls. And that was the only watering that his yard required, was the water for birds. He would keep bird seed out there because my grandma likes birds.
Sweet.
And there was one knob that he would turn, and he could watch these two bowls from the same spot, and he would watch them fill up and then turn that knob off. And so my dad goes out there, and the kids had pulled the hoses out of the bowls and were throwing rocks in the bowls already and doing that. But my dad turned on, and then my younger son, Jack, the two-year-old, he figured out how to turn the hose on the older one, and nice. And so he just starts hosing them down, and they're laughing and getting sopping wet. And so it was nice to watch them just do the spoiled grandma grandpa thing. That was fun. So now your turn. I combined them both in the same one.
Well, that's awesome.
Thank you.
I don't know if I ever have one where I'm like, hey, and both of them were great this week.
Maybe it's the gap. You have a larger gap than me.
I do. I have the larger gap, and then my wife thought, she always says, she's like, I thought if I had them that far apart, they wouldn't fight. Apparently, it doesn't matter how far apart they are, they fight.
Yeah.
But this is the positive segment, and I'm trying to think of something positive that happened. I always seem to mention my kid running, which I won't do because that's we're done. I mean, she still does, but it's fine. My daughter is, which I gotta say, if she didn't tell me, I wouldn't know when Mother's Day is. And I know that's bad because I am married and have been for a while, but there are holidays that move around and there are holidays that don't. And by the way, in my head, there's only like two that happen on the same day and the rest of them move around.
Yeah.
So in my head, 4th of July always happens sometime in July. And then Christmas is always on December 25th. And the rest of them in my head move around. It's been pointed out to me that Valentine's Day is the same day, but I mix it up. It's either 14 or 17, and I forget. So
you're romantic.
Yes, I know. I'm very romantic. And Mother's Day, I think, is a floater. And so I don't know when it is, but maybe it's always the same. And so my daughter is reminding me, and she's reminding me by coming up with all of these ways that we can make cupcakes for my wife for Mother's Day. Now, I will tell you that when I was making my schedule, I did Google when is Mother's Day, and because I've got a fairly busy May coming up, and then my anniversary is at the end of May. So I try not to book anything around something that's going to tick my wife off. If it's a relative's birthday, I can only do so much. But if it's, you know, somebody in my, you know, my wife or two kids. So she's got a whole sketchbook of cupcakes that my 11-year-old has done of like, and we could do a coffee cupcake with toffee on it. And we could do that. And she's drawn them out and come up. And I'm like, have you been watching Cupcake Wars again? And she's like, which she loves. She's like, no, I've been reading these cupcake diary books. So she's already trying to map out what to do for my wife for Mother's Day, which is good because I don't, I'm not necessarily good with that. I'm going to a Soundgarden concert next weekend, so I don't know that I'll be sitting there going, well, what can I get my wife here?
Yeah.
You know, it's just not going to dawn on me. So there's that from my one. Again, not super positive, but she's already working on Mother's Day gifts, which is great. And my littlest one, she didn't pee in her pull-up last night. So
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. And if she can just do it a few more nights, we can stop buying them.
Well, that has been our show. You can send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. I want to say real quick, because I know some of you may be playing catch up already, but for those of you that stay on top of the episodes, I know that I have been talking a lot about how much I would appreciate if you guys did the paid subscription where you go to thedadpodcast.com, and we have a new option where you can support the show for $25 a year, or you could do it for $2 a month. And as I've said before, that literally will change my life. And a lot of you have been doing that, and it really does mean the world to me. And I just wanted to say that it is not lost on me that I started asking you to do this and that I'm 3 weeks behind on episodes. I am in the process of trying, like, I just felt like it was a weird message that people started, because I had people started paying, you know, isn't that funny? People started paying, and then all of a sudden the episodes stopped happening, you know, like, I felt like
scam,
the big, yeah, exactly.
It's scam, it's not.
Like, no, it's not. It's honestly because, and it's kind of part of the, what I'm trying to do to reorganize my life, because like what my moment of the week where my kid got to go outside and play in his backyard. I'm sorry, Andy, could you do me a favor? Turn the volume down on your computer. I'm getting a weird echo on my end.
All right.
Does that help?
Sure.
La la la. Yeah. It's a little bit still there, but I think it's manageable. No, it's not your fault.
I'll get you. Turn the volume way down.
No, we'll get you a headset. But anyway, did you turn me off? Because now I can't even hear you.
Oh no, I'm here.
Okay, good. But that's perfect. Right there is perfect. So here's the point. My kids were out playing in this yard, and so my wife and I decided it's very important for us to get a yard and stuff. And so now I'm going to have a podcast studio. And the reason that this is nice is because I wanted to be able to do this show and not have to worry about it. And now at least my older son is old enough to where if he hears me saying the kind of things that I'm saying, that he might not be able to be cool with it and understand that a lot of it is said with humor and blah, blah, blah. So I have to wait till they go to sleep or find someplace else to record it. So pretty soon I'm going to have a house, and on that house, there's an area that I could turn into a studio that I will use for podcasts. So just bear with me through getting to this house, and hopefully it'll all close in July and everything is a done deal. It's been going. Anybody who's bought a house, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's
huge pain.
Oh my God. I bought one before, and I got fucked on the deal. Evidently, it's when it works out in your favor at all, that's when it's really fucking difficult. But if you're getting fucked on the deal, man, that shit closes quick.
Well, that's easy. That's easy, man. That goes super fast.
So anyway, what I'm really trying to say is it really honestly does mean the world to me that you guys are willing to kick down some money, and it does change my life. And I would really love if this could be my job, because I really do like doing it, and I hope that you guys are enjoying it. So again, if everybody who listens to the show just went to thedadpodcast.com and clicked on either, you could pay $24 a year or the $2 a month, or you could just make a flat donation. And that would be greatly appreciated. If you want to come see me do stand-up, I'm going to be at Rooster Tea Feathers in Sunnyvale, California, May 30th through June 2nd. That's about the only thing I have on the books within the next few months. The next date I have right now is in September. I'm going to be at Wise Guys in Syracuse, September 26th through 29th. For those of you people on the East Coast, just to keep in mind, depending on when you're listening to this, if you're playing way catch-up, I'm playing in Kentucky for the first time at the Funny Bone there in December. I'm also going back to the club where we will hang out with Andy and do a live episode again, going to Good Nights in Raleigh in December too. So I'm looking forward to getting to hang out with you.
Sweet.
All that's anyway, all my dates are available at justincomedy.com, or if you go to the dadpodcast.com on the right-hand side, there's a place where you could put your email and it remembers where you are. And next time I'm within 200 miles from you, you will get a email to say, hey, Justin's coming to your town. And I think that's it. You can find Annie on Andy on Twitter at Comic Big A. Am I correct on that?
That is correct. That is also my website, comicbiga.com.
Friend him on Facebook.
Facebook is Comic Big A or Andy Forrester, Forrester. And
do you have any dates coming up in the next few months that you know off the top of your head?
I do. The one thing real quick is I got to run up to school. I'm going to be at Caroline's in New York City on Monday, May 20th. I'm excited. A couple of my jokes are greeting cards, and I got nominated for the Oscars of the greeting cards, a Louis, oddly enough.
Wow.
And they're having a award ceremony on the 19th, and then they're having a special show with several of the comedians, like Kostaki Economopoulos is one of them, and I'm one of them. And so I get to perform in New York City, which is pretty exciting for me, at Caroline's, a place where I used to watch on TV on Monday, May 20th. I'll be in Fredericksburg, Virginia the weekend right before that. I'll be in Johnson City, Tennessee, and Harrisburg, Pennsylvania coming up. And I was just in the World Series of Comedy in Kentucky, and I won the satellite. So I will be in Vegas at the World Series of Comedy in September.
That's awesome, man. We have a lot of listeners in New York, so please come out there, head out there and support Andy on May 20th. Is that right? Sweet. Did I get that date right?
Yes, May 20th.
All right, you go get your kid. I got to go meet a painter to get a quote. On behalf of my good friend Andy, this is Justin Worship saying, stay frosty.